We're going to learn Zechanishmas, Paramagalit, Bas Moshe, Rezel, Bas Benyamin, Mendel, Bas Tzvi, Yehuda, Ben Aaron, Yaakov, Surah, Bas Zechariah, Zechariah, Ben Israel, Aryeh, Kreinlo, Bas Yitzchak, Wolf, Leib, Wolf, Ben Shmuel, Levi, Alexander, Ben Chaim, and Dvorah, Bas Hirsch, Tzvi. We started speaking on Sunday about the different options for burial available on Har Menuchos. We mentioned the shortage of Kvarim in Eretz Yisrael. Spoke about the innovative solutions being undertaken by the Chevra Kadisha Kehilas Yerushalayim. And just as an aside, I happen to mention that if one is looking to purchase through this particular Chevra Kadisha a plot, traditional style plot in Har Menuchos, it costs approximately $43,000 for one plot. We spoke about the Sakh of Avasha Weiss, that one is allowed l'chatchila to bury a couple, two spouses, in one plot, which is dug extra deep. One spouse is buried first, covered with six tfachim of dirt, and then when the next spouse passes away, that next spouse can be buried on top of those six tfachim of dirt, and then covered by an additional six tfachim of dirt, all within the same plot. Kvura zal gabezeh, Rashi Weiss cited that was already a minhag Yisrael for centuries. He cited the Bach, who speaks about this being done in Krakow. He pointed out that this was done in Prague. He also cited, and this I did not mention on Sunday, a tshuva of Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish in the Beis Yitzchak in Yerdei Chelek Beis, who speaks about how this was also the practice in Paris, that they would bury Zeh al Gabe Zeh. And there his question was a little bit of a different concern, that it turned out that somebody who had his wife buried in Paris wasn't aware that this was the minhag to bury Zeh al Gabe Zeh. And then when he found out about it, wanted to disinter his wife and rebury her somewhere else. And there the Beis Yitzchak discusses the halachic requirements, as we mentioned, the lechatchila, six tfachim of dirt in between the two niftarim that are buried in the same plot, one on top of the other. And he speaks about b'diavad, if it wasn't done with six tfachim of dirt, but there was a stone in between, maybe that makes it less critical to have six tfachim of dirt in between. He mentions the shita of the Ramban, that maybe only six etzbos, finger widths of dirt in between is okay. And maybe, therefore, in Paris, where they had buried two niftarim, zel gabi zeh, with a stone slab in between and six etzbos worth of dirt in between, maybe b'dieved that is sufficient and one cannot disinter under those circumstances. He cites the shita of the Tashbetz, that maybe only three tvachim is required, top to bottom, in between two niftarim. That was the discussion of the Beis Yitzchak and his tshuva there, where he prohibits the individual from disinterring his wife when, once again, it turned out that they had buried two niftarim, one on top of the other, with a stone slab and three tfachim of earth in between. That was the tshuva of the Beis Yitzchak. But the point that Rashi Weiss was making is that lechatchila, one is allowed to have a couple buried zeh al gabe zeh in one plot, and lechatchila, again, with six tfachim of earth in between. I'd only add that side by side, we also require six tefachim. Same thing. But the point that I was making on Sunday is that if you want to purchase two kvarim on Har Menuchos, it will cost you $80,000 or $86,000. As a point of comparison, I was speaking to Rabbi Aryeh Mandel yesterday, who was the one who inherited from his father, Pinchas Mandel, the transfer to Eretz Yisrael service that is provided for Niftarim in the United States, Teretz Yisrael. So I asked him, just as a point of comparison, if the Chevra Kehilas Yerushalayim is charging $42,000 for a plot, what does it cost in Eretz Chaim in Beit Shemesh? And he told me that in Eretz Chaim in Beit Shemesh, the plot plus the cost of the opening of the grave and the transfer of the Nifter will cost $15,000. So it's a significant difference to bury in Har Menuchos, $43,000. Again, I'm not sure the last time he checked the prices, but he told me it was Sach HaKol $15,000 Eretz HaChaim Beit Shemesh. That's what he told me. Also a point of interest, we asked of Asher Weiss last week, is there a Mila to bury Dafka in Yerushalayim over anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael? He said he's not aware of any halachic source that says there's a Mila to bury in Yerushalayim Dafka over any other place in Eretz Yisrael. He said, in general, there's no chiv to bury it altogether. One is allowed to bury in Chutz Laretz. That was a separate point he made. It's a question of preference. He said, one can bury in Chutz Laretz, one can bury in Eretz Yisrael. one who's looking to bury in Eretz Yisrael, he said he does not know of any source to indicate that there's a Mila Dafka to bury in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim over somewhere else in Eretz Yisrael. But that was just as an aside. That was what Rav Asher Weiss pointed out to us last week with regard to that Ha'ara. Okay, this is a good question. Let me just stay focused on this particular concern right now. There's the Harmenuchas options for now. The other Chevra that I asked Arya Mandel about yesterday, the Chevra of the Prushim, I asked him if they would sell Kevarim from their plots in Harmenuchas. He told me that they would only sell to someone in Chutz Laretz if that individual already has a very close relative who's buried there. So unlike the Chevra Kilas Yerushalayim that would sell to anybody in Chutz Laretz as long as they're willing to pay the price, the Chevra of the Prushim, he said, would only sell to someone in Chutz Laretz if that individual already has a close fam member who's buried there already. But getting back to the question of Zal Gabezeh, a quick search on the Bar-Ilan database turns up Rav Chaim Ozer, Grozensky has a tshuva, and Achiezer, Chela Gimel. He's talking about, again, those who want to bury in an old cemetery where there is no longer any space. And he too quotes that Api Ikar Adin, one can bury Zeh Al Gabi Zeh if there are six tfachim of earth in between. He also says that's Api Ikar Adin permissible. He says if you don't need to, if you don't have to bury Zeh Al Gabi Zeh, so then why should you push to do that? But when there's the tzorech, he says, which arguably in Eretz Yisrael today there is, there's a shortage of space available. When there's a tzorech, he said that therefore there is a heter, as the Shulchan Aruch says, to bury Zeh Al Gabi Zeh. And a similar discussion is found in Rav Yitzchak Yochanan Spector's Tshuvas in Ein Yitzchak. Also speaking about a Beis HaKvaris where, once again, not enough room left. And he too speaks about the heter to add earth to the Beis HaKvaris to ensure that there's a six tefach of afar in between. And to bury again, Zeh Al Gabi Zeh. And he says, Chein Osin Bekama Kehilos Kedoshos. They do this in many Kehilos, says Rav Yitzchak Yochanan Spector. When they don't have enough space to bury, they simply add earth to the current Beis HaKvaris and bury Zeh Al Gabi Zeh. So this, as Rav Asher Weiss pointed out, is already a minug in Klal Yisrael for centuries to allow burial Zeh Al Gabi Zeh, which, as we mentioned, is one of the options available in Harmenuchos today as well. I wanted to, however, discuss, the remaining 10 minutes, the option we mentioned on Sunday of the Kuchen. The Kuchen we described was I sent out to the WhatsApp question, the pictures of the underground construction that is ongoing in Harmenuchos for a few years now already. I think the total cost is said was $86 million that they are investing into this underground construction site. And they've bored into the solid rock of the mountain just, I don't know how many hundreds or how many thousands of in the wall burial slots, if you want to call them that, or what's known in the mission already as kuchen. What is the status with regard to that? Because until now we're discussing traditional burials in the ground. Then we're discussing Zeh Al Gabi Zeh, but in the same plot, underground, in the ground. But these are somewhat unusual from our perspective, not what we're used to seeing. These are in the wall, in the actual mountain rock. They would bore a hole, and the mace is inserted into the mountain rock. They first put a layer of earth on the bottom of this kuch, if you want to call it that. They put the mace into the rock on top of that layer of earth. And then they showed us they have these bags of soil that they then put in the opening of this burial tube. They then seal the opening, and over years, over time, the bag falls apart and the earth just spills out into the burial slot. The question is, what is the halacha with regard to that? As I alluded to on Sunday, just last week, Rav Moshe Sturmbacher released a tshuva where he is critical of this method of burial. The question is, what are the issues involved in this? When we were there last week, the Chevra Kedisha gave us an entire booklet, Chavos Da'as Halachtis, which discusses the various burial methods in Harmenuchos. And they have there a tshuva from a sefer that I was not familiar with previously, Sefer Shas and Tshuvas, Yashiv Yitzchak. Apparently a Dayan in Keretz Zaz Netanya, Yitzchak Shmuel Shechter. If you look on Otzra Chachma, you'll find he has an incredible 46 volumes published of Shas and Tshuvas, Yashiv Yitzchak, Yitzchak Shmuel Shechter of Keretz Zaz Netanya. And he has a lengthy tshuva on this form of beryl as well. So first, just a bit of introduction. If one looks in Maseches Bava Basra, the Mishnah there, in Perek Vav Mishnah Ches, Daf Kuf Amid Beis, speaks about one who digs a burial cave in which he has numerous kuchin, numerous, what we're referring to, these slots in the rock that they would hollow out in which to insert the mace. The Rambam there writes very briefly that a kuch is a kever hamakif eskevios hamace. Unlike our traditional kvarim in the ground that are just open on top, the kuch is a in-the-wall kever. So it's a kever that surrounds the guf hamace. So writes the Rambam in his Perasha Mishnayis, Bava Basra, Perek Vav, Mishnah Ches. Listen carefully to the words of the Me'iri there. The Me'iri writes the following. He says, they would have a ma'ara, v'hay in ha-ma'ara, shahayu poschin b'tzad echad, shebasela. They would open up a cave from one side of the rock, and then v'chofen ma'ar, they would dig a cave, and then v'chofen kuchin. In the ma'ar, they would dig these burial slots in the walls of the cave. B'shalash ruchos sheba ma'ara, on the three sides of the cave. You walk into the cave, and on the three sides of the walls that surround you, they would dig these kuchin in the walls of the cave. To the right of the one who walks into the cave, to the left, and then right opposite him. In all of these three walls, they have these kuchen dug in the burial cave. And the Meiri writes, he says, the opening to each of the kuchen would open up into the ma'ara. Right? So imagine walking into a three-walled underground cave, and in the three walls, to your right, to your left, in front of you, are these burial slots in the wall. The opening of the burial slot opens up into the ma'ara. And then the Meiri says they would put, he writes, Hayaminichin Aron Shahames Besocho. He's speaking about using an Aron with a mace in it, put the Aron into the Kuch. And then he says, and this is critical, Vesosmim Espiv. They would then seal up the opening of that Kuch. Ba'avanim Vesid, with stones or with some sort of lime, plaster. Obameshagitsu, or however else they want to seal it up. That's it. They put the mace in the Aron into the kuch, and they seal the opening of the kuch. So writes the Meiri. The Rambam yes. Right, thank you. I've been to one such site. I don't remember where it was, but it could be that was the same one. You're right. You could walk into these burial caves and see the openings in the wall that they did the burials in way back in the times of Chazal. Correct. Oh, that's exactly the point. All he says is that they would dig kuchin in the walls, they would put the aron with the mace in the aron into the kuch, and then all he writes is, sosmim es piv, close it up, ba'avanim v'sid, o b'mashi yirtzu. Does not mention putting earth in the kuchin, which is an important point. Whereas if one looks in the Rambam, Hilchos Avel, Perek Dalid, Halacha Dalid, the Rambam speaks of the minog Yisrael, when it comes to Kavura, he writes, the chofrin be'afar ma'aros, they would dig into the dirt of the caves, the osin kuch b'tzad ha'ma'ara, they would make a kuch in the side of the cave, the kovrin osabo, they would bury the mace in that kuch, upon of lamala, face up, the body is face up, umachzirin ha'afar v'ha'avanim alav, and they put the dirt and the avanim on top of the mace. Rambam specifies putting dirt and avanim on top of the mace. And that's a critical point, because that really seems to be a point of contention here. Because as I described the Harmanuchos kuchen that they're using now, they don't put ufer on top of the mace. They have this hollowed out, bored out hole in the stone of the rock of the mountain. They put ufer first on the bottom of that tube, if you will, put the mace on top of that, and then a bag of soil at the opening, which will over time deteriorate, but they don't put ufer over the mace. I can see it being somewhat practically difficult, because how are you supposed to shovel ufer into a somewhat narrow tube-shaped opening all the way into the back of the tube where the mace is inserted? A little hard to reach back there. not so simple. So Rav Moshe Sternbach and this troop that was released just last week, a week ago today, actually, Moshe Sternbach writes the following. He says, he quotes the Rambam that we just mentioned, that Bizman the Mishnah, the Kuchim, were utilized with Afar on top of the mace. And Rav Moshe Sternbach writes the following. He says, the Kuchim that are now used in Harmenuchos, he says, they put the mace in without covering them with dirt. They just put a bag of dirt at the opening of the Kuch. And he says the following. He says, he doesn't recommend this form of burial because there's no afar on the mace. He says, the Pasuk says, ki afar atah vel afar tashuv. It's a mitzvah lachasos es ha-mace ba-afar. It's a mitzvah to cover the mace with afar. So he's concerned about the lack of that mitzvah of kisui ha-mace ba-afar when utilizing the kuchen that they have today in Harmenuchos. He says, you're losing out on that din of kisui ba-afar. And he says, furthermore, he says, there is not going to be as quick a decomposition of the basar ha-mace as a result. That's what he writes. And we know that the decomposition of the basar ha-mace is ultimately what is necessary for the mace to be released from the din of Gehenna. That once the basar is fully decomposed, that's when the mace is freed from the din of Gehenna. So we want the equal ha-mace, the equal ha-basar, to happen a little more quickly. And by not putting offer on top of the mace, he argues you are slowing that process down. So Rav Moshe Sternbach writes, and again we'll have to see the other side of the coin hopefully tomorrow. He says, the ikar mitzvah sakavura that you fulfilled. But he says, you're losing out the mitzvah of kisui ha-mace ba'afar, that you're losing out, he argues. And therefore he thinks that it's best not to utilize this method of kavura, the kuchen and harmenuchos. And again, I hate to leave everyone off on just one note, but there is, again, another side to the coin to be seen tomorrow in Shuvas Yashiv Yitzchak. We'll discuss that tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem.